Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts, and that's not just what we call ourselves. It's what our moms tell people when their sons graduate from college. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way.
Ha ha.
There's your two laughs.
That's it. We're done.
And speaking of our mothers, we have to say Happy Mother's Day.
Of course.
To all of the many mothers who listen to our podcast. That's our target demographic. That's our target demographic. That's our vast
majority. That's what we catered to.
Exactly.
I mean, I know that your mom listens to the podcast. In fact, she's often in the chat, sometimes berating us.
Yes.
But I know my mom doesn't.
Oh,
I know that for a fact.
Oh man.
Yeah. But then again, that's why we do this. It's because our moms call us technology experts, not because they know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
And they listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Although this is the number one technology podcast among mothers. That's a
fact. Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
That's good.
That's a fact. Don't look it up. It's a fact.
That's what we're going for here.
That's what we're going for. That's what we've set out to do. We've got a whole lot of moms here in the chat with us today. It's great to have you all. In fact, the reason that we put that in our intro is because we knew when we started this podcast 3 or 4 months ago, we knew that we would be doing this Mother's Day episode. And we definitely didn't just think of that after we already said the intro.
Absolutely not.
Just make that connection.
And there's my mom.
Oh, yes. Noah's mom says, "Mom's rule." I mean, it seems like a biased opinion. I hate to be that guy.
That is true. That is true. But, you know, it's a target demographic. We'll give
That's true. We'll go with it. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. We'll let them off the hook this time.
Indeed.
So our first topic that we wanted to talk about today was actually not really related to Mother's Day, but, I mean, kind of, because I graduated college today.
Woo.
Specifically yesterday and today. It was split because of the pandemic. Noah here has already graduated because he did a semester early. So yes. He graduated in December. But within the scope of this podcast, we've both graduated college.
Yes, we can say that.
So I guess yay for us.
Woo.
Woohoo. We did it. And so now we've just got, you know, the rest of our lives.
Yep.
Stretching out forever and ever until we die.
Yeah.
Yeah. That got dark. Anyway, the point is, today is my first day as not a student since 2004.
Yeah, that's true. How does it feel?
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much nothing is different at all.
That's fair.
Especially since, I've already had this job for a while here on YouTube. Even though it's not like I didn't get hired. Susan Wojcicki didn't like call me and say,
yeah.
Hey, here's what we want you to talk about Apple stuff. I don't know. And then I was like, that sounds good to me.
No, that didn't happen?
No, it didn't.
Oh, man.
I know. Most people think it did. Most people think this is a common knowledge that is actually a myth. Most people think that all YouTubers were hired by Susan Wojcicki herself.
Well, because that happened to me, so I thought
exactly.
I thought that happened to everyone else.
Yeah, no. There's many people. I would say at least 36 that just signed up all on their own.
Did you hack the system?
I had to make. It's called an account.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So I guess what we wanted to talk about. When I tweeted that I graduated, I got a lot of people asking, A, what I majored in, which I realized is a valid question, and also what it's been like doing school and YouTube at the same time.
Yeah.
And when I talked to Noah about it, we realized that there's, even though Noah hasn't done as much YouTube, you've really done a lot of your career and your work, both personally and professionally, during college. So I guess we can both kind of speak to that. I think the term you used was work-life balance.
Yeah, that's one term.
And I don't know. I think it's, college is such an interesting time because you're simultaneously very busy and also have free time, depending on your schedule. And so I think that was what really allowed me to do YouTube in a serious way. Like, I started this channel when I was in high school, but didn't have... And I actually started it because I was bored.
Yeah.
It was sophomore year in high school, and I was like, man, I'm not doing anything. And it had been a while since... I've been doing YouTube videos and video editing for a long time, but I wasn't doing anything at the time, and I was like, well, this is boring. I gotta do something. So that's where YouTube started, but it wasn't really until 2017 into 2018, especially, where I had the time and the ability to actually dedicate serious amounts of time to working on building a YouTube channel. And honestly, I've gotten a lot of people, I feel like people dramatically overestimate and underestimate my age. Like, sometimes I get comments that are like, this guy's like 12. And then I'm like, oh man. And then I get comments like when I posted that I graduated, and people are like, I thought you were 28. I'm like, oh man. I don't know if either one of those is a good thing, but there seems to be confusion in both directions.
Being called a 12-year-old is probably not a good thing.
Well, it's certainly not.
In general.
Yeah. But also being assumed to be 6 years older than you are when you're only 22 is maybe not a good thing. Or maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. Do you guys think it's a good thing to be mistaken for 28 when you're 22?
I wonder if how much of it is the physical appearance versus like the YouTube and like the persona. You know what I mean? Like, do you look like a 28-year-old?
Or do I just comport myself like a 28-year-old YouTuber?
Yeah, well, when you say words like comport, then people think you're 28.
It's a good word, okay?
It is a good... Well, you know,
maybe it's all the button downs.
No, but
maybe,
you know what's funny, though? Me. In Spanish, the word for, like, to behave is comportar. So it's like, you know. So that's...
There
you
go.
It's a good lesson there.
Thank you. Good, I feel parallel. Taught to.
Well, but you just graduated. That's not supposed to happen anymore.
Oh, no. I'm supposed to have learned everything.
Yeah, you're done learning.
Oh, man, that's so weird. I'm so used to learning new things, but I guess now I have to forget all of it.
Yeah.
Right, that's what you've been doing since December, right? I've been forgetting every piece of new information you forget.
I've been very busy with that, yes.
Busy forgetting things.
Yes, it takes a lot of effort to do that.
That's interesting. See, I was always thinking that... See, look at that. Someone actually just proved our point in the chat here. I thought you were 18. Okay, I feel like, I don't know.
You were 18.
I was.
Four years ago.
Yeah. Oh, my. Luke being a part of Gen Z is the highlight of my night is another comment. Actually, you know what? I'm derailing the podcast.
Okay.
I want to talk about this. What the heck generation are we?
That's a really good question, because I think we are, like, technically, yes, we are Gen Z.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of, like TikTok, I feel like TikTok is such a defining factor of Gen
Z. It absolutely is.
And I've never set foot on there, and I have no desire to do so.
I fully agree with you there, sir.
Like, I'm not going to stand here and be like, the younger generation's so stupid. Kids. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. It's so dumb.
Get off my lawn!
I don't have a desire to watch, like, a bunch of 10-second videos. I don't know.
I think they're up to a minute.
Are they really?
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't, like the trends, like the challenges that aren't actually, like, they call them challenges, I get it, but like the challenge where you have to, like, do something really easy and, like, whatever, and like and, like, you know, the dances, yeah. And what, like, I just don't get all of the
upper body only dancing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part that gets me, is just the idea of these people standing alone in their room going For those who are listening, I just danced.
Yeah, yeah. It was
really good.
It was amazing.
It was really good.
And then there's like, they get like millions of followers, like the top
literally
ones.
Millions.
Like, I don't know many of them, but like, what is it, like Charli D'Amelio and Addison Rae are like the two that I see on all the news articles.
Yes.
And I know they're like the dancer ones. And like, good for them. That's amazing. But like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to watch
insane.
A video of like someone doing like a little dance for 30 seconds and be like, oh my gosh, I need to see more of that.
I know. I don't know. This is why it's so weird. I'm so confused because I don't feel like a millennial. I don't feel like a Gen Z though. Every time people are like, ooh, TikTok. Ooh, did you see the milk arm challenge where you pour milk on your arm? I'm like, what is this?
We need happening, the milk arm challenge.
If you're a Gen Z and you're watching this, start the milk arm challenge. That's the next big thing.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I feel like such an alien. I feel like we're in such like a weird middle ground. But actually, if you think about it, that means that we then don't have to take any responsibility for anything that happens in either of those cohorts.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because when millennials do something stupid, we can just say, oh, those millennials,
uh-huh,
what a bunch of goofballs.
Yep.
And then when Gen Zs do something stupid, we can just say, ah, those youngsters.
Yeah, exactly.
What are they up to these days?
I think we should have our own generation.
I agree. I think, from what I remember, Gen Z is 1996
yes.
to 2012.
I think that's right, yeah.
Something like that. So Noah and I are both born in 1998.
Yes.
Which puts us right in that weird spot.
Like, technically, yeah, we are. And, okay, we say 96. I know there's a little bit of flux. Like, I've heard 96, too. There's a little bit of flux. But, like, we're mm-hmm. right at the very, very beginning. And I feel like, yeah, like, some of the trends, I feel like we kind of, some of them we haven't, some of them we've kind of missed.
And I think the other thing that's interesting is there's actually a lot of difference in just a few years in that range. Like, think of it this way. If you're watching this, there's a pretty good chance that you're older than we are. We're pretty young. But think about it this way, right? A lot of the Gen Z people I feel like are like 18, right? That's like peak, like 2003.
Sure.
Maybe.
Sure.
Well, we'll go with that. So when I turned 13, it was 2011, right? So we were just getting like, bless you. Good one.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So when we turned 13, it was 2011. That was, iPhones weren't like a guaranteed thing. I didn't have an iPhone when I was 13. I had the little candy bar phones. Those were everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Candy bar phones. Maybe you had an iPod. A lot of people had iPods, but you know, obviously no streaming. Mm-hmm. YouTube was, those were like the Smosh days. And like,
oh, so
Mystery
good.
Guitar Man.
So good.
And Rhett and Link.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The slow-mo guys.
Yeah.
Peak YouTube content.
Oh,
right
and I
there.
Have to say, remember the buffer story, right?
I do remember.
I got to just
story.
Say that really quick.
Yeah.
I think I was in like first or second grade, and we were watching a YouTube video in music class.
Really early YouTube.
This was early. This was very early YouTube, but it was so early, in fact, that the video was struggling to play, and I said, you know, you got to pause. I said, like, you know, whatever. I was in first, second grade. I was like, you got to pause the video. I probably sounded like, oh, you have to pause the video. Probably sounded like that, but
most likely, you weren't in first grade going, hey, you got to pause the video.
Yeah. No, but I said you have to pause the video and let it buffer, and all the like other kids. Students, whatever, thought it was so fun. Like, the word buffer was so funny that some of them, like, called me buffer. Like, that was my nickname because they had never heard.
It was such a new thing.
Like, obviously, everyone knows the word buffer now. But, like, at the time, like, oh, letting a video buffer. Like, no one, like, they didn't know what that was. And they thought it was a funny word. So they called me buffer.
Yeah. So, I guess that story sort of ties into this where, like, you know, when we were 13, you know, just sort of entering the digital world, really. Or, I guess, realistically, you and I were interested in technology from a very early age, hence being called buffer because you knew what that was when you were like seven.
Yeah.
But we, you know, that was, you know, the first gen iPad was out. Very early, like, iOS apps were big. Cut the Rope.
Oh, so good.
Cut the Rope might even have been a little bit later. But that was like all the stuff that was super big when we were 13. If you're born in 2003, then you were 13 in 2016. That was like full blown, you know, everyone had iPhones. Because iPhones were cheap. They were accessible. They weren't bought on contract. You could buy a used iPhone for like $100 and give it to your teen. Or people at that point had the previous iPhone. In 2011, lots of people were first-gen smartphone users.
That's and don't forget that the iPhone was like on AT&T for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even come to Verizon and all the like. Now it's on all the carriers, but it wasn't.
And there was no like it was, and they were all on premium smartphone data plans too.
Mm-hmm.
So like the smartphones weren't like in our age group in 2011. Smartphones were not anywhere near even 25% of people. Whereas if you're born just 3, maybe 4 years after us, there's a lot more of that. So there are pretty big differences, I would say. Which is why it's so weird. I feel like generations get compacted in a digital age.
Mm-hmm.
Like realistically, if you were born in 1840 versus 1850, it's like, oh man, the log cabins are so much better now than they used to be. You know, like there's not the rate of change has changed a lot.
That's true.
A lot. And I don't remember where we were starting with this. This was a tangent.
This was a tangent.
This was a tangent. That was a pretty good tangent, though. I think that was interesting.
It is interesting.
I am noticing some of the people here in the chat. Some people were saying that we're millennials. Some people were saying, oh, you're Gen Z completely. So I guess that proves our point of how weird and nebulous and confusing it is.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't have a problem. Like, if I'm Gen Z, fine. I'm Gen Z.
Yeah, I don't really care. It doesn't define you.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. But like, and I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm so cool. Like, I don't use TikTok. Like, oh yeah, I'm like, like, oh, if you use TikTok, you're so lame. Like, what? Like, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just
saying, trying to make fetch happen.
I'm just, you know, there's like there are differences, and like the prototypical Gen Z person, there are some things in common. Like meme culture. I feel like probably understand meme culture better.
I'm always late though.
Wow.
I'm so bad.
I don't know.
I mean, I like memes. I'm always sending memes to people, and they're like, that's been over for a while. Like, did you see this Nyan Cat thing?
Yeah, oh yeah.
What about that Harambe?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's funny, because, like, on the one hand, I feel like we have a better understanding of meme culture than someone who's, you know, 5 or whatever years older than we are. But then there's a lot of Gen Z stuff, like, you know, TikTok and like a lot of the influencers that are popular with Gen Z, like all that kind of stuff that like I just have no knowledge of or interest in.
Here's a proposition.
Okay.
What if we were to define generations by what memes were big when you were 13? So we can be like the Trollolol generation.
Oh, I'll take that.
And if you're born in 2003, then you can be the Harambe generation.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to think of what's the one now? If you're 13 now, what's your, I guess you're the DaBaby generation.
There you go.
I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense.
That honestly, I feel like that's really what defines generation.
Yeah.
Like more than just the year you were born, whatever, but like
more than the socioeconomic conditions, you know, global pandemics that last for a year and all that stuff is semantic. The really impactful stuff is if you were 13 during Trollolol, you know what's up.
Yes.
You know what's good. if you're watching or listening to this when you were 13, go ahead and hit subscribe. Wait, no, if you're that I didn't say what I meant to say there. I said if you're watching this when you're 13, subscribe. I'm just saying, if you're 13, subscribe to the channel. If you were 13 when Trollolololol,
there you go,
came out, then subscribe.
Who's watching this in 2021? Leave a like.
All the comments. Oh no.
Oh boy. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, we gotta move on.
The tangent was the balancing personal projects with stuff that you have with requirements.
Yes. Yeah, so as Gen Z individuals,
yes.
As your resident Zoomers, yes, we are qualified to speak on growing up in the social media age,
mm-hmm,
while being in school.
Indeed.
And I given what I've seen, actually given from my YouTube analytics, there probably are a decent amount of Gen Zs, of like people in high school and college that watch my videos.
I'd think so.
I think we're about 34% in the 18 to 29 demographic is my audience. So even the millennials here are probably, you know, born in 1992. It's not that far off. So I guess that kind of counts. But anyway, if you are a student, I think honestly it's one of the best times to explore your creativity and your passions digitally, because it's all free. And guess what, folks? Why not? I guess that's not really a guess what.
Guess what? Whoa.
Guess what? Why not?
No, that is true. You have... It's a time, like, on the one hand, you do have these requirements of, like, you know, you got to do your homework, you got to study for your exams, whatever. But, like, to a point, it's kind of arbitrary. It's not like when you're working and it's like, oh, you have to do work so that you can get money and you don't get fired. Like, I'm not trying to make a whole thing, but it's like when you're, yeah, when you're a student, you generally have more free time and you have fewer responsibilities as well. So it's exactly more in general. And I'm not going to, like,
there's
students,
a lot of people that put themselves through college.
Yeah. And they have a lot, and mm-hmm, absolutely, they have a lot of, so we should take a step back and just say, if you're privileged enough and lucky enough to have the time while you're a student, then, you know, then you have the time while you're a student.
And another thing is I feel like in the past couple of years, maybe it was more a thing. I feel like it was more of a thing 4 or 5 years ago when we were looking into colleges, maybe because we were paying attention to it and now we're not really. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there was a huge narrative of like, don't go to college, just, you know, like, I feel like there was that whole mentality of like, college is a waste of money. You can be an entrepreneur, like, just don't go to college, make your own way in life, whatnot, right? I don't know. I never really bought into that. I mean, if you can make your, I mean, Charlie, the TikTok girl, whatever her name was, she probably doesn't need to go to college. I'm fairly confident she's a multimillionaire.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, I guess if you make your way, if you realistically, if you can't, if you're not privileged enough to be able to go to college and you use alternative means to find success, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, obviously. But I don't know. I think there's nothing wrong with just doing both. Why not start a digital entrepreneurship while going to college? I think the conversation of like, oh, you shouldn't go to college, that's probably a little overblown. Like, college is still useful. There's, even if it's not going to apply 100%, like, there's been many classes where I was sitting in college, I'm like, I'm paying to listen to this? What is this? What's the point of this? But sadly, the way of the world is that the degree is a big help.
It is.
It gets your foot in the door. You work for 4 years and you get your foot in the door, even if it's not the most useful thing, even if you're stuck paying loans, maybe it kickstarts your career, maybe it doesn't. There are merits to going to college, but there are also merits to starting your own thing. I mean, Noah basically started his career in middle school, didn't you? I mean, basically, when you started coding.
I mean, yeah, I started coding in eighth grade was when I started like the real coding. And it's true. Like, I taught myself basics and I taught myself up from there, and that's what enabled me to like get internships and do well in school and all that. So yeah, I guess you could say I started my career at that point.
And you cultivated it a lot in high school and then especially in college.
I always joke that like coding was my sport, like for my fingers, like the typing was my like sport, because I didn't, you know, as you might guess, I didn't play sports in high school.
No.
But I know, it's crazy. That's crazy. I did a lot of coding in high school and in college, of course. But yeah, no, that was a big help in starting my career.
And that was the same. I guess YouTube was my sport, mm-hmm, in high school as well. And then in college, I had a lot more time to dedicate to it because you know, flexible schedules. I do also think it's worth, I don't know, I feel like the whole like rat race to get into the best name brand college is probably a little overblown. And then the work at college to like try to do all the clubs and all of the classes and like really load up your schedule maybe is overblown. Again, personal style. My personal style in college was taking the classes that I needed to take to get my major and get a degree, but not, I didn't feel the need to like really go crazy with it because I really wanted to make this YouTube thing into something. And so having a slightly more relaxed approach to college where I wasn't, you know, taking the hardest classes with all the essays or joining all the clubs or taking an extra class over the summer or something like that. For me, that approach worked really well. And I think it's honestly, I've had a lot of my friends that have been like, wow, I didn't realize like when they met me freshman year, a lot of my friends kind of like made fun of me. Cause it was like, you know, I was just like a guy in a dorm room with a very small following making a decent number of videos. And I was pretty dedicated to it and they kind of made fun of me for it. But then later, obviously it has paid off. And then a lot of people are like, well, how did you do it? What do you do? What's like the, how do you have time? And I guess I would just say, don't set out to do YouTube and be like, I'm going to not go to college. I'm going to do YouTube instead, or I'm going to do YouTube full time. If you set out to do that, it's like kind of a bummer, you know? Oh my gosh. Cause every time you have expectations, YouTube will always disappoint you. That's how it works. If you're like, oh man, this video is going to do so well. It's like seven, you get seven views. Now shut up and go back in your corner. That's what the algorithm does. But if it's, if you're not expecting anything from it and you're just doing what you want to do and you're like, I could make a video a bit about this. This is something I like to talk about. I'm going to talk about it in front of a camera. I honestly think there is no, I don't think there is a downside. Someone in the chat is pointing out, they say YouTube is very risky. Well, I think that depends on what your definition of risk is. It is free to start a YouTube channel.
And what you want to get out of it.
And what you want to get out of it, yeah. If you put everything on the line for YouTube, then yes, it's risky. If you invest before you have something that, you know, before you have any money, kind of like a business, it's very, very risky because there's no guarantees at all. But if you do a more of a grassroots approach where you, I guess you sort of integrate it into your life. So you're not investing into it necessarily, but you're taking out of it and putting back in.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way that I did it. I mean, the first videos that I did with Mac repairs, I was basically, I could not afford the Macs that I was buying to just have. So when I would do a repair video, I would buy like a 2012 unibody, I would fix it up, and the goal was to sell it and in doing so make money. The money making was not coming from the video at all for a while.
True.
And so that was sort of a separate thing because I couldn't afford, you know, fancy cameras and stuff. So it wasn't, in that regard, I wouldn't say that it was risky because there wasn't really anything to lose.
Right.
On the YouTube itself wasn't that much of an investment. My like repair business was the investment, but that was going to happen regardless. So I think it definitely depends on how you do it. But I think there's a lot of benefits to do it. And especially as I think we talked about on the YouTube episode, your smartphone is probably more than fine for starting out. If you have an idea, you can get creative and make it work. And in fact, sometimes that's even a better way to do it. Like if you build a whole channel just filmed on your iPhone and you're really clever with it, that could be like a whole angle.
Yeah, I feel like and it's the same thing. Like it's the same thing that I always say with coding. And I know we talked about this a little bit on the YouTube episode, but like the basic idea of if you're getting into it because you want to be famous or because you want to make a bunch of money off of it, or like what, like if that's your end goal, then it's going to be risky at that point. And you know, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work, a lot of time. Like you said, you don't always get the results that you want, and it can be very demoralizing when that happens, all that stuff. But if you do it, like, I mean, you're a communications major, right?
Yeah.
Public relations and all that. So I'm sure that you learned, like, in making your YouTube channel, I'm sure that you've learned some important things in that area.
Oh, yeah. I would say, so actually, I guess we should mention what we majored in. We're talking about doing YouTube and work in college without saying what we did in college.
Yeah.
So I have a major in... I was going to say I'm working on, but I'm done now.
You're done.
My major was in public relations and strategic communication, which I ironically flubbed when communicating that to you.
Yes.
And I have a minor in marketing.
Yeah, I had a major in computer science, big surprise, and a minor in math.
I was me yeah, doing a spit take, but I didn't actually commit to it because I didn't want to spit water out on the ground.
Yeah, that's probably
good. I probably could have, though. It's just like a empty carpet. Anyway, the point is, I would say that YouTube helped with my degree. There were a lot of cases where we were talking about like social media, and like in some classes we would talk about YouTube trends, and I would just be like... I'll take that one.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in computer science, you had multiple moments where they're like, so this is how you make an app. And you were like, excuse me, hold my beer.
Yeah, well, some of them, the interesting thing about computer science is it's like, this is a whole tangent I'm not going to get into, but like computer science versus programming, like the computer science, a lot of it is the theory versus like programming where you're actually just doing it. But like I was a teaching assistant for some classes. So I did... You know,
did you get paid for that?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a lot, but I didn't do it because I wanted to get paid for that. I did it because I liked teaching and interacting with the students. Like, you know, I ran some recitations and I office hours and all that. So like, so yeah.
I just got to point out, Ollie, one of our viewers here, studied pedagogy.
Goji. Right?
Is it?
Goji.
This is really embarrassing for us. Geez. I shouldn't have read this aloud. They studied pedagogy.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
I think so.
Maybe. Sociology, philosophy, and language, and a degree in computer science. Good Lord.
That is...
I could never.
Very impressive.
I have like an 8-page paper, and I'm like, ugh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I will admit, especially in senior year, it was sometimes hard to motivate myself to do schoolwork because it's like, it felt very, very contrived.
Yeah.
And it's like imagine that you were doing communication as a business. I had to make a video for one class where it was like, imagine that you work for a firm and you need to do video production. I'm like, I do. I don't have to imagine that. I do it every day.
Yeah.
And it definitely felt, I was like, I'm paying for this. I'm paying for someone to teach me how to do what I already do. But I think, honestly, I guess our stance is kind of unclear here, but I think if you're a Gen Z person, I think the number one like desired career is YouTuber with Gen Z people.
Yeah.
People apparently really want to be YouTubers. If you want to be a YouTuber and you're like, I don't care about a job, I don't care about college, I'm going to put everything into being a YouTuber, you're going to be miserable. I legitimately think if you don't have a job, if you're starting from scratch with nothing else going on in your life and you're just doing YouTube, you are going to hate it because it's a lot of time with very little reward. If I wasn't doing school and like summer internships and other work during the entire time that I've been working on my YouTube channel, it would have sucked. The whole thing that made it doable was that it was the escape from the normal things that I did.
Yeah, definitely.
Same with coding, right? If you had after high school just sat down and said, "All right, I'm going to make an app and I'm going to get hired somewhere or whatever," and you just sat there and did coding and nothing else, how miserable would you have been?
I don't know. I feel like I have a lot of good memories of college, and I will say college definitely made me a better programmer. Not just that I learned programming, but just like learning like problem solving skills,
yeah,
like in general, like all that stuff that you that even if it's not directly, yeah, and that's like all of that stuff that happens is really valuable.
Yeah, Ollie just pointed out exactly what we're talking about. University is not just to get a job. It's a place where you grow and discover so many things.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a lot of my really great friends are from college. Not this guy. We've known each other since middle school.
Yeah. I thought you were saying that I'm not a great friend.
Well, that's implied.
Yeah.
You're a terrible friend. What kind of a great friend would do a podcast with you?
Yeah, I know.
Good grief. Yeah, we should probably move on to one of our other topics. But yeah, I think college is a great time to try things and meet people and trial and error. It gives you a lot of time because who knows? Maybe you start doing YouTube and you're like, oh, whoops, don't want to do that anymore. This sucks.
Yeah.
What better time to do that when you have the time and when you don't have to rely on it to survive?
Yeah, it's like people change majors in college a lot too, because it's the time that you can discover things and you might think that you like something and it turns out you don't. I mean, I always knew I liked computer science, but there are plenty of people who started there and switched to other things, or people that started elsewhere and switch in because you don't know. But yes, I guess the last thing I'll say on this topic is, you know, as far as like balancing, like it's exactly what you said about how like YouTube and personal projects and all that stuff is sort of like the escape from like all the requirements that you have in your life. And when you're in school, high school, college, and all that, is for a lot of people, it's a great time to do it. But I would do it because you know, you want to do it. It's like a fun thing that you're doing. If you're trying to make it your job, then if you start out and you're like, I want to be a full-time YouTuber, and you're starting from absolute scratch, it's a long road to get up there, and there's no guarantees at any point.
If I might add, actually, if you want it to be your job, that's fine, but I think there should be probably a transition period. Like, if you want to be a full-time YouTuber, then go for it, but it would be hard to, like, quit your job and then start the channel, you know? Like, I think it makes sense to have YouTube or social media or TikTok. I don't know. Apparently people make money on TikTok. I don't know how.
They do.
You can do it, but it's also great to have multiple options. Don't go all in on any one particular thing. And that's kind of the point of college, right? It's like you take a bunch of classes and you figure out what you like.
Yeah, that's why there's gen eds and
yeah,
and
that's
all
like
that
the
stuff.
Whole point of it, and people change their major all the time. Yep. There's no, and you don't have to be 17 to do that. If you're 26, you could. YouTube is basically another shot. Social media gives you the chance to try something else that you're passionate about and see if it's viable.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe you want to start a wicker work business.
Oh, yeah.
That's been a passion of mine for as long as I can remember. I love wicker work.
Uh-huh.
I'm being sarcastic. I just thought of that off the top of my head. But, you know, if someone wants to do wicker work, then they're going to do wicker work.
They're gonna make it work.
Oh, they're going to make it wicker work.
That was barely a pun.
That counts.
Thank you.
Maybe they're going to be a full-time podcaster, and they could podcast about wicker work. In fact, speaking of which, our next topic is our podcasting setup. Did you like that transition?
That was pretty good. I'll give you that.
Not forced at all. Do you remember what the exact question was?
I think they just wanted to know like the equipment that we use and the general setup for the podcast.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, well, it's honestly a pretty simple layout because I film a lot of videos here, so it's not a permanently installed podcasting setup. We have two Shure MV7s. That's what we record with,
mm-hmm.
with pop filters that are very irritating.
Very inexpensive.
Very inexpensive.
Well.
I don't think they really work. I guess we'll find out.
We'll see if that worked.
We'll see if that worked. Did you hear the pop? Let us know. Email us if you heard the pop.
Yeah, email us. Submissions at darkmodepodcast.com if you heard
Which
the
actually
pop.
We should take a moment to plug. If you're listening, if you're watching, We love hearing from you guys. Email us submissions@darkmodepodcast.com or go to darkmodepodcast.com and you'll find all sorts of links and stuff. And we love hearing from you guys. And this was a viewer question.
Yeah.
Was about our podcasting setup. So we got the Shure MV7s. Those are both XLR'd into my H6, a Zoom H6, which was a recorder that I got bundled with my main microphone that I do my videos on, which is a Sennheiser MKE416. Love that thing. It sounds so good. It was expensive. It was $1,000.
Yeah.
Although, granted, it was $1,000 bundled with the recorder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this recorder standalone is $300. The mic standalone is $300. So I think that's pretty killer deal. The microphone, if you wanted to buy a Sennheiser MKE416, it's $1,000. The Zoom H6 is $300.
So you're saying,
or you can buy them both for $1,000.
Okay, I was so gonna say if they were $300 each.
Yeah, no, that would not be good.
That would not be good. Okay,
that'd be good. Yeah,
that's
so
good.
It's $1,300 separately or $1,000 together.
It's pretty.
At least what I found. I think it's probably still available, but this was like a year ago. But so we've got these two mics plugged into the Zoom H6. That's plugged into, you guessed it, the M1 Mac Mini. Pretty much, actually, not the entire time. But most of the time that we've done the podcast, since like episode 3, I think, we've been running it off of the M1 Mac Mini. It's silent. It does not care. We've got a ton of stuff plugged into it. It's got plenty of ports. It doesn't consume a lot of power. I've got a portable monitor plugged into it that just folds up. It is such a convenient setup. I guess we should also say the light is an Aputure 120D. With an Aputure light dome, which diffuses light extremely well. It looks really good. And we've got an Elgato Stream Link?
We have two. We have one of those. Yeah.
No, you have one too.
We're using one right now. We have two.
Well, eventually when Noah moves to California later this year, we'll go back to having two different windows. We won't be side by side the whole time. But for now, we have plugged into a Cam Link, and that's plugged into my Sony A7S III, which is a camera that I've been using since basically just for this year, and it is so freaking good. Oh my gosh! I don't know why I said it like that. It sounded sad. It's amazing. I love this thing.
It is really. I like that even I can use it. Like, if you put the right setting on it, then even I can use it and it still looks good.
I've got it set up on Noah mode where he can handle it. All he has to do is point.
Yeah.
The autofocus on this camera is amazing. Here, Noah, why don't we do a demonstration? Let's both lean back and we'll stay in focus.
I don't want to fall. Were we in focus? Email us at submissions@darkmodepodcast.com.
Especially if you're listening, tell us if we were in focus.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, but no, the autofocus is second to none. Especially with the depth of field that this camera gets, it's scrumptious.
Mm.
Scrumptious.
Oh boy.
That's going to sound good.
Is this ASMR now?
Scrumptious.
Oh, jeez. I'm glad I'm
not
listening to this.
We don't have headphones to monitor it, so I don't know what that sounds like. If it sounds good, email us at submissions@darkmodepodcast.com.
And if it sounds bad, then just tell Luke specifically, because that's his fault.
Yeah, and you can reach me at submissions@darkmodepodcast.com.
Yes, the point is, send us emails.
Oh, no. People are saying that our stream is at 360p. Aw, man.
Well, they're not going to know if it was in focus or not.
That's what they said. What a shame. What a shame. Got a shout out to our viewer, Felix, from Hong Kong. Very cool.
Very cool.
I'm always surprised when I look at my analytics where people came from. I think at one point I had 6 views from North Korea.
Oh, boy.
I don't know how. 6 views from people who I'm sure have been executed now. Imagine that. Imagine that that's what the last thing that you're like, oh man, I'm gonna look at this Western, these glutinous, not glutinous, gluttonous.
Yes.
No, we're not full of gluten. Yeah. We are full of glutton. These Westerners, what are they up to? and then clicking on a Luke Miani video, and then you're like, oh, I'm not missing much.
Yeah, and then that, and then you get executed.
And then Kim Jong-un is like, no, we can't have that. Like, was it worth it just to watch me go, hey guys, look at this MacBook? And then that's it, lights out.
Yeah, if that's your taste of like Western culture, like America.
Yeah, the land of the free, the land of some little white guy going, hey guys, so I got this MacBook, but it doesn't work so good. Boop, boop, boop. Oh, now it's working great. You should buy one.
That sums up about half of your videos.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I can be self-deprecating, but you can't deprecate me. Mm. Well, how dare you?
I just did.
I'm offended.
You've been deprecated.
I am deprecated. Ah, man.
That's like the new canceled.
Deprecated?
You've been deprecated.
Oh, man. I like that. Deprecate culture has gone too far.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, man. I'm gonna go deprecate a celebrity. That just sounds weird.
It does.
I can see why cancel. It sounds, I mean, it means what it means, but it sounds weird.
It does sound, I don't know, it's a little bit fancy. It's a little bit of a fancy term. It's a programming term, too.
Is it really?
It is.
Oh, that's true, because it's like outdated, right?
Yeah, like old, like outdated stuff is deprecated. Yeah.
I knew a thing. Are you proud of me?
Yeah, you're a regular programmer.
I am. Boop, 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 HTML. Is that basically it?
That's what I do all day.
Yeah, wow.
Let's go boop, 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 boop.
HTML.
HTML.
And that's it. This has been kind of a goofy episode. We've been kind of goofy here.
This has been pretty goofy. All right, can we get one? Let's get at least one more topic.
Yeah, here. Let's get another topic here.
What do you think? What should we talk
what
about?
What do I think? Well, I think that all those topics are pretty great.
Would you like to pick one to talk
about?
No,
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. All right, you can go for it.
All right, then.
You got this one.
All right, then you want? I think we'll talk about Apple Music.
Wait.
Oh.
Wait, you have to have like a really seamless transition.
Oh. Okay. Oh, okay. Speaking
boop, boop,
of
boop, HTML, that's your lead-in.
That's my lead. Oh wait, that's my lead. I had another thing.
Oh no!
Because you said we have to have another like another transition.
Yeah.
You know, you got to talk, and you know, speaking mm-hmm. of talking.
Yes.
When I talk,
oh, I see
you listen.
I listen to it.
To it, and what else do you listen to? Music.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I do.
And so there have been some rumors lately about Apple Music Hi-Fi. So maybe we could think about that for a
what
couple
a seamless
minutes.
Transition. Yeah, let's think about that
let's
for
think
a couple
about
minutes.
It. We're just going to sit here and think
all
about
right,
it.
All right, let's think about it, guys.
Hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I don't know.
That would be cool.
Yeah, maybe.
Hopefully.
I don't know.
So basically, Apple Music, but with better sound.
Yeah, I guess so. It's interesting because I guess so Apple Music Hi-Fi. I think so it's like Tidal's had their Hi-Fi for a while. Spotify announced, I think it was a couple months ago at this point, I forget when it was, but Spotify announced that they're gonna have a Hi-Fi tier coming later this year, I think. And now the rumors are saying that Apple Music is going to do it as well. And so basically the idea behind it is you know, so like I think on Apple Music, the highest bitrate is 256 kilobits per second. And on Spotify, it's 320. So that's the amount of, yeah, so it is.
Low.
Yeah, so it's basically it's the amount of data in the song per second. And it's, you know, the lower the amount of data, the more compression there is. So you miss out on, maybe it won't sound as good. You miss out on some things. You know, it might get compressed. It might not sound quite as wide as it did, whatever. When you have the hi-fi, you're getting much higher bit rate, so you're getting much higher quality music. Many more kilobits, you could even say.
Whoa.
So a whole another scale there. But you have these higher quality streams. And if you have the right equipment, which I think is the interesting question, if you have the right equipment, then the music will sound better. If you don't have the right equipment, it's gonna sound the same. But if you have the right equipment, then your music could sound better.
If you're using the built-in or the included ear pods that came with your phone prior to this year.
Yes.
Then, or was it last year? When did they stop including ear pods?
Wasn't that was just the 12, right? Didn't the 11?
Well, I know the 12 didn't come with a power brick, but did the 11 come with ear pods? I don't remember. Anyway, point is, if you're using those, I don't think you're probably going to notice a difference.
I don't think so.
And also with Bluetooth, I mean, what's the limit of what you can actually transmit over Bluetooth? Because Apple doesn't do wired.
Right.
So I, and like the thing is with Spotify, they know that there are people that listen to it on wired. People are going to listen on high-end audio. Apple doesn't build products for things that aren't in their ecosystem. So if they're building hi-fi, it's for AirPods and AirPods Max and right. AirPods Pro.
Right. And then so, I wonder, like, is it, let's start with the AirPods Max, right? Because that's where obviously it makes the most sense. AirPods and AirPods Pro, you know, they're earbuds. And I think they sound amazing and you can get into that, mm-hmm. whatever. But like if people care about, you know, hi-fi sound or whatever, they're probably talking about over-ear headphones, right? So, and I know hopefully. We sound like total, like whatever the opposite of an audiophile is, like we're sound like audiophobic. Yeah. Audiophobes. Yeah. I don't know. I know it's like the complete opposite, but it's an interesting question because you talk about the AirPods Max, these like $550 super fancy headphones or whatever. And then, you know, is Apple Music hi-fi going to make a difference at that point? Cause like, this is Apple Music. Really, it's Apple. They're making it for their products. Exactly what you said. Are you going to notice a difference on your AirPods Max?
So here's the thing. I'm such a noob. I don't think I would. I legitimately don't think. I'm such an audiophobe, as we have now coined the term, that I legitimately don't think. I mean, it's probably not something I would pay for. It's kind of like I notice a difference between 1080p and 4K on a small screen,
mm-hmm.
even if it's 4K that's downscaled. Like I'm a video guy. I notice video things. I'm not an audio guy, and I don't notice audio things. So I guess that's why you would have it as a tier. Although I did hear one report that was suggesting that it would be $9 or $9.99 or something like that, and without saying like that would be additional, like they were kind of implying maybe it would be included.
I read one thing that said, I think if you got like the bundle, like the Apple One bundle, that it would be included at that point. Oh. Otherwise it might be more. I think that might've been what I read. I don't remember.
That would make sense. But like either way, I wouldn't pay for it. I'm sure people would. And it's great to have the option for it. But I personally, maybe I would do the trial. There's always a trial.
True.
I did the Apple News Plus trial, and then I was like, oh, wait, I can just Google the title of this article and read it on a private tab where they don't have the free article, like, you know, the paywall after you read five articles.
Yep.
So I just did that. And, yeah, I mean, I would genuinely be interested to see if you can actually notice a difference specifically with AirPods Max. I'm sure if I put on some, like, really crazy open-back headphones that – You could definitely notice a difference between really, really high quality audio. But I don't personally care that much, to be honest. That's like fair. I get a lot of comments that are like, why bother filming all your videos in 4K if most people watch it in 1080p? It's because I'm an enthusiast of I want to experiment with the medium.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not the same level of enthusiast when it comes to audio.
True. Yeah, I don't know. I find it very interesting because there's when you're talking about like Apple Music Hi-Fi, there's the question of will people notice a difference? And then I guess there's also the question of like, can there be a difference? Because like you said, there is a limit with Bluetooth, and I don't know what it is on my head. I probably should have looked it up at some point, but mm-hmm. At some point there is a limit to these kinds of things. And so I don't know, because it's kind of funny. Like, people will obviously say in the comments, or they'll think or whatever, they'll say like, yeah, of course, there's a difference between, you know, streaming service quality and lossless quality or CD quality or whatever you want to call it. So like, obviously there is a difference at that point, but this is Apple that we're talking about. And like, given the markets that they are in and the products that they make and their audiences, it's kind of interesting to think like
it's more niche than they normally go.
Yeah, like does it make sense for them, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's a great question, because one of the things that we were talking about when we were talking about Max last week or the week before or something like that, we were talking about how Apple literally never makes a niche product. Mm-hmm. Whatever they do, they try to broaden it as much as possible. They made a reference monitor and they tried to market it as broadly as possible.
True.
And so as a result, that's why you always see the videos where people are like, I'm a real pro. The Pro XDR is not as good as a reference monitor. It's like, well, yeah, because if they made that, they would sell fewer.
Right.
If Apple made better products, they would sell fewer products because they would be specialized and therefore would not apply to as many people. So Apple has always been very good at towing that line between, we're going to make something that's good that pros can use, but it's not specifically made for any one type of pro.
Right.
And that pisses off a lot of people, but it also makes a lot of people happy. And in the end, for Apple, it makes them more money than angry people. So
yeah,
they're going to keep doing it. It's hard to see how they do that with this. Like, there has to be some way. It's not going to be really, really hi-fi. It's not going to be true enthusiast audio, and there's going to be, if they do this, there will be an avalanche of reviews. Audiophile looks at Apple Music Hi-Fi, and they'll say, it's pretty good, but it's not really hi-fi.
Right.
But it won't matter because that's not what they're going to target.
Right.
But I don't know what they're going to target. That's the confusing part.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'll say is, in this case, when it's a service, and it's not just a service, it's not a full service, it's like an add-on on top. The only real difference for Apple is that they have to stream these higher quality versions. They have to have the higher quality versions. They have to store them on their servers. They have to stream them, which, you know, it's more data that's being streamed. And then I guess for the end user, it takes up more data on their device. But if they enable hi-fi, they know that's going to happen. Whatever, like on my like I have Spotify on my phone, and I download, I set it to extreme quality, which is 320 kilobits. I don't know if it makes a difference between normal and extreme, but I set it to extreme, and I know it takes up more space on my phone, but I'm fine with that. But like otherwise, right? It's just Apple's hosting. You know, for each song, they have to host another file, which is the higher quality version, and there's going to be, you know, more bandwidth and more traffic with downloading more data. But other than that, it's not that much of a difference to Apple. So maybe it's not as big of a deal as like a new, like a physical hardware product, and they're willing to just do a little bit more. I don't know. Try a little
That's
bit.
That's true. I guess it's possible. I'm quite excited to see. I don't know if maybe that's a WWDC thing.
Certainly could be.
It's you know what? Now I'm wondering. So most of the Apple events since the end of last year, right? September, October, November, and now April.
Mm-hmm.
They were all one-hour events, almost exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember. I think WWDC was longer.
I think it was longer.
I think it was an hour and a half, something like that.
Because
mm-hmm. realistically, they do have a lot to cover. Maybe we'll dedicate the next show. We're off next weekend,
yeah.
But we'll be back the weekend after that, and then back off again after that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's confusing. We'll explain it. I'll community post or tweet about it or something. Email us at submissions@darkmodepodcast.com. You know the drill. But in our next show, we will probably talk. We'll be closer to Dub Dub. We'll talk a little bit more. We might dedicate a show to that as we're getting up to it. But I think, I mean, they have to do watchOS, macOS, iOS, iPadOS, tvOS. There's been rumors about like AR stuff too. AirPods 3. Apple Music Hi-Fi, new MacBook Pro generation. It's a lot of stuff, even mm-hmm. for an hour and a half event with the pacing that they did in April, where they were like, okay, here's this. Oh, now here's this. All right, Tim's over there. Tim's going to tell you about something else. Oh, we got to go to this guy. Oh, Tim's pulling an M1. He put it in the iPad. He pulled out the mask. Oh, boy. And now we're done.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like they really flew through that. But even with that, that's like five OSs that they have to go through.
Yeah, it's Ooh, a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. That was I don't know why I made that face. I saw that for a brief second, and I have a feeling someone's going to clip that, and I'm going to regret it.
Please do, and email it to submissions@darkmodepodcast.com.
Oh, good Lord.
I had
Speaking
to
of
plug it one more time.
submissions@darkmodepodcast.com, which is a great email. It's really fun to email that email address.
I do it every night.
Every night I email it just for the fun.
Time. And then I get the email, which is also fun.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I haven't been... Because I email it, but then I just delete it.
Oh,
and I don't get the email from myself.
I see.
I got to try that.
Yeah, you should.
In fact, I think we should probably go do that right now, don't you think?
Yeah, and so should everyone else.
And so should everyone else.
They should email submissions at darkmermaidpodcast.com with suggestions.
But wait, they can't do that if they're listening to the podcast right now, which must mean that it's time to end.
Yeah, I think we should end right now.
This has been Dark Mode. I forget what we usually say.
Probably your name. We don't have it written down.
Yeah, we don't have it written down.
Maybe your name.
My name.
You want to know what my name is?
I'm glad you picked up on that.
Yes.
If you picked up on that email, I sent submissions. It was a Jake and Amir reference.
Yes.
Shout out Jake and Amir.
Oh, and we should be clear. It's drkmodepodcast.com.
Oh, yeah. We should be clear. Maybe that's what it is. Everyone's been emailing the wrong...
I think we need to buy...
This person also said podcast, so there's other issues. But anyway, the point is...
We need to buy darkmodepodcast.com and set up an email address just to get all these extra emails.
Cast a wide net.
Yeah,
submissions at drkmodepodcast.com. It is in the title of the video, so it's not entirely unreasonable to think that people would have figured it out by now. Anyway, I've been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. Have a great night, and we'll see you in... 2 weeks.
Yes. 2 weeks.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Warm season's greetings to you all.